You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions and student voices.
Good evening and welcome to your Friday Pulse. I'm Tamara, your host for today, and today I'm joined by Olivia and Elliot. Today we'll be talking about a range of stories, including the California shooting in a school, Labour's pledge to nationalise broadband, an attack on the Hong Kong envoy in the UK, and pointless work meetings as a form of therapy. But first, over to Elliot, who will be talking about the California school shooting.
So, over in California, two teenage students were killed in Santa Clarita. Two students aged 16 and 14 have been killed and three others injured by a gunman who opened fire at a secondary school in California, officials say. The victims died in a brief 16-second gun attack shortly before classes began on Thursday. The attack came on the 16th birthday of the suspect, named by US media as fellow student Nathan Burhau. There was no link to bullying as far as officials can relate, and after the 16 seconds the suspect turned the gun on shooting himself. The big question this points out, I think, is harkening back to an age-old question that we seem to have, which is gun rights in the US. Are they too lenient? Are they too liberal?
I personally think that gun rights in the US are too liberal. I think that it's often in the news that there's been some form of incident at schools, especially the fact that people that are 18 or younger are managing to get their hands on firearms, I think, is particularly worrying. And I do think it needs to be made stricter.
I think, though, like, people in America, they very strongly believe about their right to bear arms. It's in their constitution. And I think, fair enough for that, but the fact that a 16-year-old managed to get a gun and then managed to, I say weaponise, it was already a weapon, but weaponise it against two of his, like, fellow students is disgraceful. Like, how are 16-year-olds getting things? Why are there not, like, also, strict protections on where they are in households?
Also, I don't know if the Constitution in the US is now representative of the overall opinion. Like, I think you see more and more campaigns and protests where people are trying to create awareness, they're trying to change the laws surrounding the rights to have a firearm. And, you know, just because something's in a constitution, it doesn't mean that it should stay the same forever, otherwise nothing would ever move forward.
I think the biggest problem, though, is probably the mass of influence that the NRA has. So, like, that's the National Rifle Association, I think. And they basically, they spend a lot of money lobbying politicians, and they spend a lot of money trying to kind of keep the gun laws the way they are, in order for, like, they say, for, like, the protection of their members, but then also
for their own profit,
yes,
as well.
With this article and with the story being relatively new, it's not been released as of yet whether the firearm was illegal or legal. However, the largest mass shootings that we've seen in the last 2 years have all been using illegally obtained firearms. So, stricter gun laws would not have changed the outcome.
I disagree, though, in a way, because I think that by changing the laws surrounding guns, you also then start to change the ideology surrounding them. So if people don't think that it's just their right to have a gun, I don't think they would seek to have one as much.
Guns are so ingrained in American culture that trying to remove them, I think, will have a very similar effect as prohibition in the UK. Like, you know, if you tried to get all the UK to stop drinking alcohol because it's dangerous and, you know, it results in drunk driving and stupid stuff. Like, I know it's not quite as comparable, but if you take the idea that it's so ingrained in culture, it would never happen. It wouldn't work.
But I think alcohol is ingrained in many societies and cultures. I don't think guns are. I think
they're not. But in the US specifically.
Yes, but I don't understand why they can't look outside of themselves, look at other countries, and see, oh, actually, other people have a lot less, much lower crime rates involving firearms. Oh, their laws surrounding guns are different. Maybe we should be looking to replicate that.
But I think because the US see themselves as such a great superpower, and they see themselves as, like, the pinnacle of freedom and, like, all of that, I think that they look at their own thing and see it, like, not everyone obviously there, but a lot of people would probably look at their own country and be like, yes, this is right. And I think trying entirely removing guns from America would never work, because that would have to be over a very long period of time, because it just it would take a long time, especially because the country is so massive in comparison to the UK, where it would probably, like, let's say if we had similar laws, it'd probably be difficult, but I think in a different way, but because we're just a lot smaller.
And I think taking guns away straight away, obviously, I agree, it wouldn't work, but I do think that we could, well, not we, because obviously we're not American citizens, but I think the US could start to tighten up its legislation and its laws surrounding guns and the right to have a gun. I'm not saying change them completely. I'm saying make it more enforced.
The people who are going to commit these shootings are not going to care, realistically, about the social culture behind, you know, oh, how ethical is it to carry a gun? Is this the right thing to do? Because they're just not very ethical people. I mean, realistically, they're going out shooting people. It's not a particularly normal thing to do.
It's not about whether or not they see the social impact or whether they understand it. It's about the fact that if the social impact is happening almost unconsciously within the society, then people won't realise that it's happening, but those issues suddenly won't be as... they won't be happening.
I think that if we... The tighter that... in the short term, the tighter gun laws become, I would imagine the higher the rate of shootings could possibly be, because it's one of the biggest deterrents. It's one of the main reasons why it hasn't ended up being repealed, gun laws, is simply because of the fact that Americans wholeheartedly believe that the thing that stops someone walking in and shooting a lot of people is the idea that half of them could be carrying guns themselves, which is why schools are targeted so much, because they're not, because kids aren't armed.
What preventative measures can be put in place to stop this happening again? Because it's happening not just one isolated case. We've seen this in the news constantly.
I think once we saw Sandy Hook happen under this was years ago because this was under Obama,
yeah.
And I think once that happened, it kind of showed that there is not a lot of ways that America would change, and it would be, I don't even know what it would take, because if Sandy Hook didn't make the laws change, then I don't know what would. So I think one thing that's just the biggest problem Sandy within Hook. American culture is just how normalized guns are, because I think, okay, yeah, people also manage to illegally purchase arms in the UK, but they're a lot less normalized here. So I think that's more of a, let's say, radical thing, and if there was a shooting, it'd be a lot more of a radical thing, rather than in the US, where, because they're so readily available, they're a lot more normalized.
Sandy Hook was December 2012, by the way. I've just looked that up. Yeah.
I think this then, perhaps, if you took it back to, but took it even further back, maybe we should be looking at cultural exchanges across the globe. So if there was, I mean, this is very hypothetical, but if there was some kind of scheme in place where American students or American citizens had the opportunity to go live somewhere else in Europe, for example, for a certain amount of time, there's probably schemes like that already exist, but I think we should be making them, or they should be more readily available to not just American citizens, but people all over the globe, so that they have the opportunity to experience other cultures and learn from them, and then go back to their own culture and be able to reflect on it and be like, well, what can we do to improve our society and our community? What have I learned from this experience? What can I bring over to that to here?
Well, let's hope they don't end up going to London, because I think that'll probably reaffirm more to them that they should have guns for the amount of knife violence going on down there. Yeah, I think it's a tough one, because the proportion of people who misuse guns, legally obtained guns, in America is so minuscule in comparison to the number of gun owners. I think it's over 40% of households surveyed recently admitted to owning at least one firearm in their house. So obviously that means that there's probably, what, 45%, maybe even 50% of the population wield guns, potentially. And there's no way that 50% of the country is committing mass shootings. So it's like they're infringing on the rights of so few for so many people. In America, regardless of what our opinion is, it is a right in their written in their constitution.
To use these guns on purchase, or can someone just go out and buy a gun regardless?
You can't just go and buy a gun. There's extensive background checks, which are really, really very rigorous if you want to buy a legally obtained gun in America. You don't go to the store and they say, right, we need to train you how to use it. But at the same time, you can't, if you have any history of a felony in the last like 20 years, something like that, you can't obtain a firearm.
I think then as well, especially if in this article, the gun was obtained illegally, maybe they should be looking at ways to stop that from happening. Maybe that needs to be their primary focus. If we've established that, you know, changing gun laws in America isn't going to really have much of an impact, it's going to be pretty impossible, then they should be looking at how to stop the illegal illegally obtaining guns.
I mean, one preventive measure that was put in recently, which people got, funnily enough, quite angry about, which is humorous, was that after recent mass shootings, everyone was like, we need to repeal these people's rights. And then they had students have to go into schools in high-risk areas with see-through backpacks so that security can more easily identify if they're carrying a firearm. And people got up and were like, oh my God, it's a breach of our privacy. It's like, what they ended up doing was saying, we need to fix the problem, but we need to fix it by retracting another person's rights. But as soon as their rights were to privacy were repealed in order for safety, they suddenly got up in arms about it. It's a completely different way of looking at it. I think that was probably more effective than removing an AR-15 from illegal purchase, because I don't think that's going to change the issue that much.
Yeah, unfortunately that's all we have time for on that story, but if you want to get in touch about anything we're talking about today, you can send us a web message through the website urn1350.net, or you can send us a tweet at urn1350.
This is URN